Amen. Beautiful. Thank you. As I got the call on Friday with Larry asking me if I would deliver the message, I thought, wow, what am I going to do? I was tied up Friday and wouldn't have an opportunity to do it, put it together until yesterday. And I went out on the internet, and Greg and I hadn't had an opportunity to talk, but I saw in the bulletin that the lead-in special music was all I Can Only Imagine. And I thought, wow, what a beautiful song when I found it out there on YouTube and as they have just played for us. Just an unbelievable message of I Can Only Imagine. And each one of us that is sitting here, the roughly 75 or 100 folks that we have here today, I'm sure we each have 75 to 100 different visions of what heaven looks like. Whether you perceive it as kids, you always used to think of it as clouds, and that you look up and we're going to heaven. And we had in our mind that it would be those puffy white clouds sitting there. But then I saw an ad yesterday. Some of you may think heaven is a little bit like this. A new restaurant was the Inquirer this morning, and my father is always counseling me, you eat too many fried things. And I say, I don't eat that many things. I've given up fried chicken, I've given up fried fish, but I can't give up my French fries. So this may be the heaven I'm going to end up if I end up going to this restaurant up in Clifton, a new restaurant opening apparently this week called French Fry Heaven. Every kind of French fry you could imagine. They have Belgian waffle fries, cheese fries, taco fries, German fries, every type of fry you can imagine. So I'm sure our visit to heaven will be expedited should we go there on a regular basis. There's no doubt about that. But then I said, wait a minute. Generally, we're always thinking about how we perceive heaven. And then I thought, to Caleb's question, what a great question he had this morning that really ties into my message. And I don't know if everyone could hear what Caleb asked Debbie. He said, well, what happens when someone asks, are you a Christian? And they give the answer, but you're really not sure if they're a Christian or not. And Debbie said, well, you'll see that by how they act, how they interact. And then I thought, wow, what a perfect lead-in to my topic, which is, let's flip this and not wonder how heaven looks to us. But while we're here and God is looking through glasses on us, how does he see us? How does he see our life? The potential that he's placed in each one of us, we can only imagine. And he can only imagine. And what really caught my eye for the message this week was a young girl by the name of Liz Myers from Northern Ohio, and you may have seen it in the news, I think it was maybe Monday or Tuesday of this week, that she had met with the Pope, and the purpose of her visit, her family is a Catholic family, and the purpose of her visit was that it started maybe a couple of years ago, and it started with this photograph that apparently went viral. I was not aware of it until the news piece this week, but apparently this photograph that you're seeing was Liz that was taken to an observatory up near Mansfield, Ohio, near her home. And her family had received a diagnosis that in some time, and not too distant future, within the next few years, she will lose her vision and she will lose her hearing. So when she was eight years old at the time she got that diagnosis. Her parents, I'm sure shocked by the diagnosis and overwhelmed at the time, decided we're going to do something for her so that when that day comes, she will have seen and experienced everything we have in our 30 or 40 years of life. So they embarked upon a plan of taking her on what she calls her visual bucket list. Everything she might want to see and that we have seen in our lifetimes, they wanted to compress into a couple of years. And one of the things that she wanted to take with her when she went blind was a view of the heavens. So they took her to an observatory, and this went viral. Her family was offered, and I'll go back to this picture of the Pope. Her family received all kinds of offers after this video and this story went viral. And Turkish Airlines, of all airlines, called them on three separate occasions and offered them round-trip tickets for four anywhere in the world they wanted to go. And the parents turned it down three separate times, saying that when we took her to the observatory, our purpose was not to elicit sympathy and to have people bestow us with gifts. And the father said, somebody slapped him upside the head and said, that's not your choice. They want to gift that to your daughter. They are trying to say, we want to help in any way we can so that she can see things that she could never see. And that's how the father came to his senses and said, wow, I never looked at it that way. And they accepted the tickets, and they decided they would use them to go see the Pope and pray with the Pope as it related to her vision. And then I thought, oh, wow, I wonder what she's looking for. What do we look for every day? What's the beauty that you look for? What set of glasses do you go into every day? Caleb and Debbie sat here, and I jotted it down. One of them said, every day is a special day. And I thought, wow, that's so simple but prophetic. We all talk about it. Live as if today is our last day. But we're always planning. We're always saving for that next day and that next day and that next day. And as I understand it, Tyler Jones, he was fine on Friday. He was fine on Saturday. And when he went to wake up on Sunday, they couldn't wake Tyler, and he was gone. Can you imagine that? If we knew tomorrow was our last day, how would we handle today? How would we look at the world differently? What set of glasses would you have? Would you look for the beauty that's there in flowers and mountains? Is that the beauty you would look for through your glasses? Would you go to a quiet river and look for the serenity and peace of a river cutting through a valley and just sit beside that river and take in all God's beauty? Or would you look to families and relationships and friends that you have? Is that the set of glasses you would look for to see God's beauty? I don't know. We're all different, and we look at things differently. But then I thought, instead of Liz looking through that observatory up to the heavens, take that same picture and put God on the other side of that lens, looking down at us. What would he see in each of us? Debbie said to Caleb, the way you know if they're a Christian, you will see it in what they do. And C.S. Lewis had this quote that I thought captured it. He said, as we go through life, if you look to fulfill yourself, is what he was talking about, you will find in the long run only hatred and loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But if you look for Christ, and you will find him, if you open your heart up to Christ, truly open it up to Christ, you will find him, and with him, everything else is thrown in. You don't have to select the flowers or the river or the relationships. It all comes flooding at you. And it really struck me in an interview that I saw this past week, and it's a much longer video, and it's part of a book, but John Payne, some of you may be familiar with a gentleman by the name of John Payne. He wrote a book called The Luckiest Man. He was diagnosed with ALS approximately 15 years ago. At the time, they gave him 5 years to live. And I'm only going to play maybe a three-minute excerpt of a lead-in to a much longer video. But listen to his words about his very successful life. They went to church every Sunday as a family. I believe he has 3 children. He was successful in business. He was teaching his children responsibility and ambition and goal-oriented. He was doing all the right things, as his kid said. But it wasn't until he was stricken with ALS that he really understood what it meant to have a relationship with God. Let's listen in, and then we'll discuss.
Just one more story. I was attending my first ALS clinic to learn about all of the resources available for people like me. I was surrounded by others, all at varying stages of progression, knowing intellectually about this horrible disease. It does nothing to cushion the blow of seeing people totally, I said totally, paralyzed from head to toe, with mostly hopeless expressions covering their faces. It was almost more than I could stand. To swallow the truth of your diagnosis is hard, but to witness your future, that was horrifying. My instinctive reaction was to say, please, please, dear Lord, do not let this happen to me. Do not let me just exist like this. My greatest fear was to just exist. But that was then. This is now. Many years have passed, 15 to be exact. And today, it is my turn to be paralyzed from head to toe, relying on machines for every breath, and totally dependent upon others. My life today is far from mere existence. You see, the presence of God is what produces abundant living. And it is far greater than anything ALS could dish out, or negative circumstances could ever produce in your life. You see, I count it pure joy in living my life's purpose, which is helping others to know and walk closer with God. That's real living. I want to personally thank each of you for coming tonight, listening to my story and about my God. Your encouragement and prayers have helped make this project possible. I am humbled by your presence and your response just to be here tonight. Much love and blessings to each of you.
If you're interested, you can find the introduction. It's about a 30-minute video from that point forward. And I'll paraphrase what I learned from watching him and interviews with him and the research that I did for my message this morning. And it really struck me that a man could be literally paralyzed from head to toe. And as you may have heard, it was a little muffled and difficult to hear, I can imagine. But for him to say that the power of God's love is more powerful than anything that this disease can dish out, and that he didn't realize, he didn't have an intimate relationship with God prior to that in the way he said he's found over the last 15 years. He was like many of us. He said, I went to church every Sunday. From the time the kids were born and baptized, I did all of what he said were the right things. But he really never took the scripture lesson from Ephesians to heart. That glory belongs to God, whose power is at work in us. By this power, he can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, regardless of the circumstance that we find ourselves in. God is in each and every one of us, no matter what situation life has placed upon us. But the important thing that I took away from it was comments from his children. And they said the disease really offered an opportunity for all of them, not only their father, to find what it truly meant to have a relationship with God, but for them as well. And he said, the best example I can give you to develop that relationship is look at your life as an onion. And he said, God is at the core of that onion somewhere. But you have to peel away all of the things that keep you from God. And he said, it's not always negative things. It's not always bad things. He said, sometimes it can be seeking to do things. He said, from a career perspective, his dad would always take them on, not always, but he would take them on trips, whether it was just down the street or to go fishing or on vacation. But his father always had an ulterior motive or a lesson to teach the kids in everything he did, to a point that the kids almost made a joke about it themselves, about, I wonder what lesson Dad is going to teach us on this particular trip. And he said, after the disease, we started going on trips, the same type of trips, the same planning, but all of a sudden now, Dad was totally different. He enjoyed the journey of the trip as much as he did the destination and the purpose that secretly he had, that ulterior motive, unbeknownst to the kids. And he said that's been the biggest change he can see, that he's looking at life as a journey and enjoying every moment of that journey. And in his life, the son's life, to get closer to God, he said, I had to peel away the things that I thought were important in life because I didn't go to God. And I was living the life that I thought God wanted me to lead, but I really hadn't gone to God to find out, am I doing what you want me to do? Am I fulfilling everything you can imagine for me? He said, I never went to that place where my heart truly connected with God. And that invitation is available to each and every one of us. We're on different paths there, and some of you are there. You have that peace that comes with having a truly intimate relationship with God, where you can talk to God, hear God, feel God, and as Debbie said to Caleb, you will know by how you act. So when God's looking down from that telescope at us, what does he see in what we do every day? How we interact with others, how we engage with others, how we drive. I know weeks and weeks ago we saw a video in the group that was here on Saturday where the young man saw everything. It got him frustrated in just a normal day's activity, from driving and parking and going into a store. And the premise of that video was, when he put glasses on from God's vision, he saw every person that he interacted with had a story. And had a story, had he known, he would have responded differently. And Dad tells a story. Years ago, my mom was in very bad condition. And Dad had been at the hospital all day, drove home. And was almost in an accident. And it was his fault. And I guess they got out, and the guy's screaming at my dad. And he said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My wife's very sick, and I just wasn't paying attention. And what do you think happened? What we call road rage today wasn't known back then. Just that quickly, he changed and said, oh, I'm sorry. He went from rage to looking at things differently, and it changed his perspective at that moment in time 180 degrees. Was God there in that moment? Absolutely. And God's there in every moment of every life. We have to look for him. He's there. Whether we're down, whether we're up, whether we're joyful, whether we're mournful, whether we hurt with the pain of losing someone. And I cannot imagine the pain that Jones are going through from losing a son at 27 years old. And knowing that their other son is dealing with cancer and is not doing well. Can you only imagine? But John Payne says to us, you can't imagine. God is there for us. The glory that he has and the peace that he can bring is beyond anything we can imagine. He's looking down, watching. He's waiting for you to peel away everything that is keeping you from having a loving relationship with him. He can only imagine. Let us pray. Lord, we have come here this Sunday morning to say Thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, but more importantly, thanking you for being there for us, no matter when, no matter where, and the patience that you have, knowing that we may not be doing your will, but that you never turn away from us. You never go the other direction. You're always there, standing next to us, with your hand extended for us to grasp it, waiting, waiting, waiting. And when we reach out, you embrace us fully with all the peace and the comfort that we might need, whatever our situation in life may be. And we thank you so much for that and for all of the gifts that you have given us. In your name we pray. Amen.